Galatians chapter 5, if you don't know where that, where's that at in the Schofield, Brother Dale? What's the page? 839 in the Schofield, Lamentations chapter 5. And I'm going to read one verse, and then we're going to pray, and then we're going to go back through this chapter. I asked the Lord last night as I was studying this way up until probably 2 or 3 o'clock this morning, probably close to 2 o'clock this morning. And it's not a fancy sermon by no means, but I believe this is vital. And if you can get a hold of this in the next few minutes, I believe that it will help us. Look at verse number 7. Lamentations chapter 5 and verse 7. Our fathers have sinned and are not, and we have borne their iniquities. Our fathers have sinned, and we are not, and we have borne their iniquities. Now, this is a strange message title, but I'm preaching today on the price of water. The price of water. Let's pray together. Lord, I love you. I thank you for this congregation, everybody that's here. I thank you for those that have faithfully stuck through these strange days, and I ask for your blessings on them and the new ones. I pray that you'd bless them as well and their families. I pray that you would bless them for trying and give us a good time around the Word of God today. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want you to look at verse 1 of Lamentations 5. We're going to read several verses here and make some comments along the way. Before I get into that, I appreciate Brother Stick bringing water up here, okay? This water comes out of that water fountain back there, straight out of the ground. And how cold is water when it comes out of the ground? 50-something? Anybody know? 55? And I enjoy it. My boys, somebody gave us an inflatable that we put up at our house. Somebody give it to us. And it's a big inflatable, and it takes water, and we put water in it. And yesterday it was hot, and the boys were in there and just enjoying the cold water. If I lived in the city, and some of you may pay for your water, and that's something that a lot of folks have to do. I was raised in a home where we were on the Asheville City Water System, and you know, my parents paid for water. Some of you have to pay for it. Let me ask you how much you'd pay for water. Now, if you're really thirsty, you'd probably pay anything, a couple dollars. You can go to the gas station right now and pay $3 for a bottle of water, one bottle, not a jug, not a five-gallon bucket of water, $3 for a, and some of y'all, and it's not a big thing to you, and it's not a big thing to me either. I like smart water. That's just how I am. If I'm out and about and I don't have my own water, and my wife bought me this blue container that has this measurement on it that I'm supposed to drink 4 of those a day, and I like my well water. If you're on a well and you like it, raise your hand. You're on a well and you like it. Amen. I'm on a well and I like it. And I drink that water and I love it. I take it with me when I go somewhere. I've got a bottle of it in the refrigerator at home right now. And I enjoy that. We make our ice out of it. I appreciate it. I don't pay one penny for that water. Not 1 cent. Did you know that when it comes to time for a nation to start purchasing their own water, it's a very bad place to be in? You say, no, what does that mean? God gave us water on day number 2 of creation. He separated the waters above, which would be the clouds, from the waters below, which would be the streams, the wells, the oceans, and so forth. That God made that separation on day 2 of creation. This earth is 70% water. There's plenty of water for everybody to drink, to never run out, and to always have it for free. And when I promise you, sometime this week, I will probably either, I like Dasani. You like Dasani? Okay. And I like the smart water. I like it. It doesn't help. Amen. But I like it. I like the taste of it. But when it gets up over like $3 a bottle, I have a hard time paying for it. Some of y'all are like, I wouldn't pay a penny for it. I don't blame you. I probably shouldn't. The truth of it is we have water everywhere. And when a country gets to where it's charging for water, it's in a really bad spot. I haven't figured out why yet, but that's what this chapter's talking about, and I'm going to deal with it. I want you to look at verse number 1. Remember, O Lord, what has come upon us. Consider and behold our reproach. Okay? Now, this is a preacher Okay? Jeremiah, he's talking to God and asking God to remember us even though we have failed him, and we have. Verse 2. Our inheritance, this right here makes me furious. Our inheritance is turned to strangers, and our houses to aliens. Now, this is not part of the sermon, but I'm going to plug it in for free. Y'all know this, and I say it, and I'll say it till I die. My fourth great-granddaddy moved into this area, bought 200 acres back in the early 1800s, and had that 200 acres of farmland, and pastored in this county before it was ever a Madison County. When it was still Buncombe and Yancey together, he was here as a pastor, and when they carved Madison County out of it, he died a few years after that. What I'm getting at is that when he came here, he came to a place that was God's country. Can I get an amen on that? And there's still a huge constituency of people in western North Carolina, the upstate, North Georgia, East Tennessee. There's still a huge constituency of God's people. It's not hard to go into a busy store and find somebody with a Jesus hat or a Jesus bumper sticker or a WWJD bracelet or what. It's not hard to find somebody that's at least somewhere this side of left field. Now it's not also not hard to go anywhere and find somebody. It's not hard to find somebody past left field. I mean, they're nuts. The whole crowd, they're nuts. Having said that, how did we lose that? Look at what the verse said. I'm not trying to be a downer today. We got to do something. We're going to have to straighten up. Verse 2, our inheritance is turned to strangers, our houses to aliens. They lost their property and their homes to foreigners from other countries that did not believe like them. They did not believe in God. And we've just thrown it all away. Did you know that in the Bible, and it should be still today, the personal property is a big deal? And when you start giving away and throwing that property away to strangers and aliens that no longer believe like you, before too long, there will be a majority of those strangers and aliens, and our religious faith and freedom will go down the tubes with our property. I'm not going to belabor that. Look at verse 3. We are orphans and fatherless. Our mothers are as widows. We have drunken our water. Listen, verse 4. We have drunken our water for money. They're in a bad shape. Their country's falling apart. They're paying for their own water. They ought to have all the water they want. They're in the problem. I mean, they ought to have all the water they could ever imagine. I mean, they got rivers and streams and wells. And what are they dealing with now? They're paying for their own water. You're in bad shape when a nation is buying its own water. Our wood is sold unto us. That's a different message altogether. Our necks are under persecution. We labor and have no rest. Some of y'all feel like that. You feel like you're working like a dog and not getting anywhere. You can nod at me if you feel that way. A few of you are already nodding. You work like a crazy dog and you feel like you're getting nowhere. That's what these people were doing. We have given the hand to the Egyptians and to the Assyrians to be satisfied with bread. Our fathers have sinned. Here's our text verse. Our fathers have sinned and are not, and we have borne their iniquities. Servants have ruled over us. There is none that doth deliver us out of their hand. We get our bread with the peril of our lives because of the sword of the wilderness. Meaning to say, it became more and more difficult just to eat. Now, thank God we're not quite that far off yet. But where did it start? It started with them paying for their own water. And at some point, the enemy's going to say, okay, now you have to pay for your own wheat. We've been paying for water for years. We got anybody here old enough to remember not ever having to buy water? Okay, Ed, Dean, nobody paid for water. I mean, when I was a kid, I remember working at my granddad's locksmith shop. I'm 38. When I was a kid at my granddad's locksmith shop on Walnut Street in downtown Asheville, y'all know where the Brazilian Steakhouse is? Okay, my granddad's locksmith shop was right across up from Thomas Wolfe Auditorium right there. I grew up on that road. Then there with the locksmith shop, it was my job to stock the drinks. They sold Pepsis and Mountain Dews. Can I get an amen on that? And that's what they sold. I remember when the Pepsi guy came in with Aquafina. And I looked at that and I thought, it was $2. That was probably 25, 30 years ago. Between 25, 30 years ago. It was a dollar and change for a bottle of water. And I thought, ain't nobody going to come in here and pay for that. Why is he putting that in his cooler? We sold that. They have people that would come in there and buy 4 or 5 Aquafinas and pay for it, pay good money for it, and not get anything else in the whole thing. I'm thinking, if I'm paying that kind of, if I've got that kind of money, I ain't paying Aquafina. Give me all the Mountain Dew. Give me, hey. But we're in a place right now where we are so convenienced. We are worshiping the God of convenience. If they'll make it easier for us, we'll do whatever they say. Verse 10. Our skin was black like an oven because of the terrible famine. They've been outside working so long that they were burnt to a crisp from their labors and still not getting anywhere. Look at verse 11. They ravished the women in Zion and the maids in the cities of Judah. Now, I know that this is talking about Israel, but it's amazing the correlation that we see here, what's going on in this country with women being abused all over this country. Verse 12. Princes are hanged up by their hand. The faces of elders were not honored. People that have tried to lead this country in the right way are being destroyed and eviscerated. They're having their guts ripped out by a bunch of bold-faced liars. 3 amens, 2 nods, and a partridge and a pear tree. If y'all help me, I'll preach a little faster. They took the young men to grind. Listen to this. Now we haven't got this far yet. And the children fell under the wood. Thankfully, we don't have child labor here, but they do. I mean, kids working on farms. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about where you have a 5-year-old working in a factory 12, 15 hours a day and making a penny. I mean, that's abuse. Hello? That's abuse. And that's where many of your clothes that you have on your body right now were made in a shop like that. Where some child. And those nations are glorified as being world leaders. Okay, verse 14. The elders have ceased from the... Hey! Look at verse number 14. The elders have ceased from the gate. The young men from their music. The older people are gone into hiding. And the young men that used to be out there enjoying life are now... Where are they at? Well, they've got their nose in front of something, sucking them into some video game. No apology for that. Verse 15. Look at verse 15. Some of y'all are living in verse 15 right now. The joy of our heart is ceased. Our dance is turned into mourning. 20 years ago, you were a happy Christian. And now because of everything going on around you, you can't even get your head out of the sand. And I'm going to make this comment here. There are things that we have to discuss as a church and that I have to preach from the Bible and that our Sunday school teachers have to teach. But there is a limit to how much of what's going on in the world needs to be brought in and moaned and groaned about in this church. It will hinder the spirit just like that. So before you speak out about something that's going on, make sure you think about it. Amen. There may be somebody that has wandered into this church, a church member that has crawled almost into this church to try to get some help from God, and then they hear some comment or something. Just make sure the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Hey, I have to blow the lid off of this crowd because they've absolutely lost their minds. And for some reason, God's people are just laying down and we got to come into God's house. Hey, and happy we'll be while the ages fly. I wanted to shout, and I almost did. But I was looking at my Sunday school lesson. Probably should have just shouted. We ought to come in here and worship God, get the truth of the Word of God, leave out of here, and with our fists at the face of the devil, get ready to take a stand in these last days, because that's what it's going to take. Okay? The joy of our heart has ceased. Our dance has turned into mourning. The crown has fallen from our head. woe unto us that we have sinned. That's coming. The crown is going to be fallen from the head. Find the United States of America as a world leader in your Bible. Find it. Show me. Crown's going to fall off. And when it does, I told the men this morning in the prayer room, I am at peace. I know some of y'all may not be. You need to get it. You need to get you some peace. The best way to do that is just get in the Word of God, stay there, get in the house of God, stay there, get in your prayer closet, stay there, and let God give you peace. Because I thank God that in the midst of this insanity out there, now I'm aggravated, but Jesus said, my peace give I unto you. My peace give I unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be dismayed. It's you have control over the peace that you have in your heart. That's hard to imagine. How do you have control over that? Well, you've got to let God. You've got to let go and let God. You hear that? You got to let the Lord take care of it, and He will. Verse number 17. For this our heart is faint. Some of y'all are right there. You're looking around. You're watching the country that you believe is a beloved, God-fearing nation fall apart. It makes your heart faint. For these things our eyes are dim. Because the mountain of Zion, which is desolate, the foxes walk upon it. Meaning to say, God's property is being decimated. Thou, O Lord, praise God, verse 19. Thou, O Lord, remainest forever. Thy throne from generation to generation. The author pauses here. Jeremiah stops and said, in the midst of all of this annoyance that's taking place around us, God is still on His throne. And we are His people and the sheep of His pasture. And we need to behave like that. Not like we've got our necks being crushed by a bunch of people that want to control us. Verse number 20. Wherefore dost thou forget us for... Look at verse 20. He's asking a question. Wherefore dost thou forget us forever and forsake us so long time? You feel like that? You feel like God has forgotten us? He has not. But sometimes you feel that way. Turn thou us, look at verse 21. This needs to be every Christian's prayer in verse 21. Turn thou us unto thee, O Lord. Now I'm going to pause there. I'm going to tell you something very frightening. It's a beautiful thing to watch a person turn his life over to God. Repent, turn to God. It's a beautiful thing. I love to watch it. I love to watch somebody that used to be living for the devil. I love to watch them turn with the power of God and the help of God, make their own choice to turn. I love to watch that. But when you got people that won't, what do you have to do? You have to ask God to do it. That is a hard prayer to pray. And we're so close to the coming of the Lord, and I feel very much liberty right now. Y'all are going to have to pray. We're so close to the coming of the Lord. If you're serious about your loved ones getting right, you need to pray that God turns them. He can't force them. He refuses to force them to get born again. He cannot force them. He refuses to force somebody to get saved. But you can pray that God will turn them. And they have to make a choice. Turn thou us unto thee, O Lord, and we shall be turned. Renew our days of old. Lord, make it like it was when the people of God were excited about a Christian nation. Do away with the nonsense that's destroying our country. Turn our country toward God again. So it's way too far for that now. We thought that before. There's been times we thought, oh, it's gone too far now. And God gave us a breath of air. That's what you need to pray. As long as God's people are here, there's a remnant and God can do something. Hope is not gone. Help is available if we'll ask God to turn our country. Verse 22. Saddest verse in Lamentations. But thou hast utterly rejected us. Thou art very wroth against us. How do you like ending a book like that? That's the end of the book of Lamentations. How do you like that? God is ticked off at a bunch of people that are paying for their own water. Why? Because they let it happen. They let it happen. Listen, Asheville has been talking for years about a rain tax. And they put a gauge on your gutter system at your house. And according to how much rain flows through that gutter, you got to pay a tax on the free rain that God falls from the sky. That's when you've got a crazy country on your hands. Look it up, rain tax. Now, I want to focus on verse 7 for just a couple of minutes and we'll go eat lunch. Our fathers have sinned and are not, and we have borne their iniquities. You know what's tragic about this passage? Is that the anger of God against that generation did not start with them. Listen up very carefully. The anger of God against the generation in the book of Lamentations did not start with them. It started with their daddies. So you're a dad here today, or you're a mom, you're leading a home. You have a choice, an opportunity to lead your family in the right direction or to be turned away from the right direction. And you've got to choose which one you're going to do. Three things. There's the failure of the fathers. He said, our fathers have sinned. What's the process of this failure? This word sinned means they missed the path. Hey, listen, somewhere along the way, you've got an opportunity to stay right or to get out. Stay right, get out. Stay right, get out. And you're here on a Sunday morning, thank God you're on the path. You're staying right, you're not getting out. And I want to encourage you, because the word sinned here means the minute that you stop that. It doesn't mean you have to go out and get drunk. It doesn't mean you have to be a murderer to be a sinner. It means the very moment that you're turning your face. Listen! If I could get this into the brains of every dad in Madison County, I'd pay to do it. I'd pay to preach to them if I could. I'd give everything I had to be able to tell the men in Madison County, get right! Get your families in church! Quit acting like a fool! The Lord's coming! And when He does, you're not going to be able to scrape them up off the terror that the Antichrist is going to run over them with. Now's not the time to be lazy as a Christian. Now's not the time to go by the wayside or to miss the mark. Now's the time to never, ever, ever take one step away from the Word of God. Amen. Our fathers have sinned. What did they do? Well, they didn't turn into a bunch of drunks yet. They hadn't turned into a bunch of murderers yet or a bunch of thieves yet. They just quit going down the path. And guess what happens? They got a whole generation that God is wroth with. He's angry with them. They're buying their own water. They're paying for their own wood. What happened? Their daddy's got off the path. Some of you dads just need to get right with God and determine that you're never going to get off the path. Not one day. It means to miss the path. It means to go wrong. It means to incur guilt. When I say failure here, I'm not talking about mistakes. I'm talking about a conscious decision to get out. Never seen a day where people can tell you on Monday, preacher, I'm wide open. I'm ready for God to do something in my family, in my family's life. And then on Tuesday say, I don't think that's for me. How does that happen? You just step off. Something out there looks better. Pleasure and sin for a season. Something over there looks better. You get off the path that God has put you on to live with your family and to obey God according to the dictates of the Word of God and what God has told you to do. And there's something over there that looks better than what you're doing. What in the world could be better than living for God? What could be better? Oh, it's hard. I know it's hard. I promise you it's hard. But is being a servant of the devil in the world better than the difficulties of living for God? David experienced times where all he did was step off the path. And before you know it, he was living in that awful sin. How? Well, he's supposed to be out there in the battle fighting. He's supposed to be in the military doing his fighting for the people of God. He decided he'd step off. He decided he'd lay out. He decided he'd quit. And guess what? Down the road, you find him with a dead kid. Screaming. The king of the known dominion. With his face on his marble floor. Screaming out to God to bring his kid back to life. Because he decided to stay home one day. Well, I'm just... being a Christian is too hard, so I don't think Tuesday I'm going to do some worldly stuff. Hey, I love having fun, but you can have all the fun in the world around this planet that we're in. You can have lots of fun without being worldly. You can have all kind of fun. I remember as a kid riding the van with the young people at Swannel Heights going over to Cades Cove, and we would sing. Why would we sing this? Robin Hood and Little John running through the forest, jumping fences, dodging trees, and trying to get away. Probably drove Miss Vicky and Miss Cindy half crazy. Oodalotti, oodalot. What in the world? What are we going to do? We're going to eat oatmeal cream pies? Try to get the bears to come in and eat them out of our hands? Count the deer? Throw rocks in the creek? What's our children experiencing now? When's the last time Billy or Tommy or Susie took a flat rock and skipped it in there? When is the last time we did that with our kids? What are we doing? They're getting sucked into everything all around us. Live life to its fullest, but do so without one speck of the pleasure of sin in your life. Because once you take one bite, you want a second bite, you want a third bite, you want a fourth bite. It's like a hot donut. But it's only for a season. The process of failure. Then there's the possession of failure. Look at what it says. Our fathers, what's the next little four-letter word there? They possessed the sin. How did that happen? They took it. Just like the very first person that ever sinned. What'd she do? She took it. So the devil just hangs it out in front of your nose and he says, here, try this. And guess what you do? You either say yes and take it. That's right. She's got it. How old are you? You're smart, 7-year-old little lady. Don't ever forget that. We got 70-year-olds that can't understand that. To just say no. No, thank you. I don't want that fruit because I've got 500 other fruits I can eat that are okay. That fruit ain't okay. But I'll miss out. Everybody else is doing it. Yeah, and everybody else is going to hell. My kids need to have access to that because their kids get access to it. Yep. I don't want them to, but their kids are going to hell. That don't mean you have to let your kids go to hell. My wife says, I do not have to set my kid on fire to keep your kid warm. Hear what I'm saying? I hope we get them all warm, but I ain't burning my kid to get your kid to feel better. One, that's right. Two, amens, a nod. And the rest of you like a calf looking at a new gate. Is this true or not? If you got grandkids, while they're in your possession, when you get to be with them, read to them. Tell them about David. My kids, don't bring them up in church. Help when they're around you. Do everything. Sing with them. Do whatever you can. We're getting to the end of this thing. I do not want, listen now, I do not want to hear the trump sound and the thought in my mind being, so-and-so ain't going to make it. The possession of failure. Our fathers have. And then we see the participants of failures. Our fathers have sinned. It's these men that had the responsibility on their back. All they had to do was just stay on the path. That's it. And how do we see the path? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. How do you know where to go? Get in your Bible and stay there. Walk on that path. Hey, glory to God. I've been on this path for over 30 years. There have been times that I've been led off of that path this way, or times that I've been led off the path that way. But there's never been a day that I couldn't get my Bible and turn on the light, hallelujah, and find my way back to the path. You may be here today and you're off the path. You've been off for a few days or a few weeks or a few months. Turn on the light, hallelujah. Get back to the path. The failure of the fathers. And we see the finishing of the fathers. He said, our fathers have sinned. And look at the next three words. And are not. What does that mean? That means they're dead. They died off the path. How many people that we have rolled a casket up here in front of this pulpit and they died on the path? Amen. They died on the path. What a great place to die. On the path. But oh my soul, God forbid they roll my casket into a funeral home and preach my funeral having died off the path. For the next generation to say, well, they loved life. And they enjoyed this and that. Died off the path. Going to hell, going to heaven with no reward, or going to hell with no opportunity to get out. I don't want to die off the path. Oh no. I thank God for the men that took machetes 10 feet long and whooped the weeds and the knots and the roots off the path so that I could walk this path with God. And they've been cutting branches. And guess what? Some of them are dead. Guess what? Some of y'all need to pick up the sword and start cutting on the path. Because over time it gets overgrown. Over time it gets messed up. Over time it gets weeds. It gets roots. It gets thorns and thistles along the way. Some of you dads need to pull out your sword and cut the distractions off the path so that your kids can see where to walk. Amen. Hudson got out of the little wading pool of this thing we got. He was barefooted and he was walking up toward the concrete. And I knew in the middle of the afternoon it was going to be hot. And I cautioned him not to step on it. It hurt him. Now, there's time to have fun and time to think things are silly. But that's something very simple. What about if you're living your life and you see your kid going into something that you know could hurt them? Why can't we just say no? Why can't we look at our kids and grandkids and say, you don't need to do that. You don't need to be going down that way. I remember my granddad. My granddad looked at something I was doing one time. And he said one sentence. And I'll never forget it. And it to this day, it gives me trouble over what he said. He actually did that to me twice in my life as a teenager. He loves me. He's been a blessing to my family, but there have been times that my grandfather, my sweet little old quiet grandpa, you know my grandfather, he never did start talking till my nanny died, and now he talks just a little bit, and if he's got something to say, he ain't wasting no words, and I'm telling you, I'll never forget what he told me. One of them I heeded, the other one I didn't, and to this day I'm paying for it.